Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 29, Episode 4 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 3rd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I know you see me on Instagram. I know you heard me on the podcast. But you still don't grant me no attention. Got the Zeit Gang all up in my mentions. He's a Miles, he's a host, he's a freak. Got a different guest every day of the week. It's cool, not trying to put a rush on you. Just let the Zeit Gang know that I got a crush on you. Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I think that was Kellen T, who's given me some pretty fire AKAs in the past. I'm pretty sure that's you, brother, so thank you, because you know I like to rap. Yes, it is a Kellen T, at Mr. T, Kellen T, for that AKA. So, yeah.
Whoa. I knew that was coming, so I erased my AKA immediately. I was like, I'm just going Potatoes O'Brien, because I cannot compete with this shit.
It's like when you came to the weigh-in for the fight, and I took my robe off, you saw I've been juicing the whole time.
And I suddenly developed a limp. I was like, ah, shit, my ankle. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and artist and animator, Ramin Nazer.
Ramin Potatoes Nazer.
As he's known. What's up, man?
What's up, Ramin Ju?
Oh, you know, just hanging out, seeing this, being a good guest and not screwing up the first sentence of being a guest on here.
Crushing it, my man.
I'm one of the best guests already.
Oh, 100%.
I'm in my head about this, though. Jack, earlier you like extended your hand before we started taping and said, Jack, and then shook my hand. I'm like, oh, I need to like remind Jack that we met like 2 years ago or 1 year ago on the Cracked podcast.
Oh, shit.
Just so he doesn't think like, I don't know, don't you have to be like more polite when you just meet someone? Like, oh, nice to meet you.
Right.
And then my reaction is like, yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah. No, you should have been like, you don't fucking remember me, bro?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. I'm going home.
My bad, man.
Yeah, Jack, do you remember all your guests? Remember
I
all your co-hosts?
Do.
You can't. There's too many. How do you remember more than 1,000 people or something? Isn't that Dunbar's number, right? You can only remember 200
people. Yeah, I think it's in the low 200s.
After that, you start merging them together. Do you ever merge like acquaintances together? Like, that's that one person then. Oh, wait, that's actually two people that I'm just merging into one. Or is that a creepy thing?
Definitely done that.
Okay, yeah,
done that
good.
With like my
For
mom's
sure.
cousins.
I do that with famous people a lot, I think. When I'm like, oh shit, those are two separate people.
Yeah. That's why it's good to not be super famous, because if you are, if someone else does some horrible shit, you get grouped in with that. Like, isn't that the guy that did that rape thing? And then it's like, no, his was way, way less. Oh, I was associating with that giant one.
No, yeah.
What do we talk about on the Crack podcast?
Death. After you die.
Oh, you were on the live show. That's right.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You were fucking awesome.
Thank you. That was a
crazy episode. We talked about the afterlife.
Oh, good. So it was good. Now I have instant credibility
on
this.
Yeah.
Now I can just lean back.
Yeah, exactly.
And not worry about it.
You can check out now, man.
Yeah. Hey, Ramin, tell me about the afterlife, fam.
We'll see.
Yeah, so now we are going to put you on the spot. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a person?
Well, maybe it doesn't make me interesting. It does make me an idiot, but I searched for Bobby Kennedy and Kennedy curse. Everyone knows Kennedy conspiracy, but Kennedy curse is that all the Kennedys seem to be getting a real bad hand recently. And I saw that Bobby Kennedy trailer on Netflix, and then I was like, wait, there's a Bobby Kennedy? And he was assassinated too. And
RFK.
I didn't really know that, because I grew up half my life in Canada and half the other half in small town Texas. So there's just these gaps of knowledge of stuff that are going on. Like, oh,
I know
there's
just
another dude.
Not enough about both countries.
Yeah, I appear like a giant moron.
Hey, well, you know what? Watch Forrest Gump, man. That'll get you up to speed.
Okay.
Because I remember that was like the way, that was my introduction.
Killed his brother.
Yeah, like, and then his brother was killed. And yeah. Like, oh, shit. Okay, cool.
I like that's that Texas need. Has just erased the Kennedys. Like, it's like Stalin era Soviet Russia. They're just like, yeah, no, the Kennedys never existed, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
We learned a lot about Texas history, and you get to learn those specific figures, and then that applies nowhere else. People are always confused that you
and
know
then
about.
We took out commie spy John F. Kennedy,
right.
And soon after, took out his brother.
And Sam Houston was our god.
Right. What is something you think is overrated?
I believe... And it's not a bad television program. I love the television program, and I watch every single episode of it, but I believe that Black Mirror is overrated when people... I'm being so protective of this because I don't want to come off as a Black Mirror hater. Like, oh, the title of this episode is like...
It's Ramin, Black Mirror.
Yeah, Potatoes
Black Mirror
hates Black Mirror. But people get very critical of episodes of Black Mirror, like, oh, that one was dumb, but there's only 3 episodes in a season, so it's 33% bad. So that's a good show, but when it's like, that was good, but it wasn't a Black Mirror episode. Like, it has this very gravitas to it. Like, it's supposed to be admired and expected, but it's just the kind of cool TV show that we like. Who knows if it'll hold up, but I like it right now, but if there's a bad episode, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of people like who are just going like, oh my God, it's like so mind-blowing. Is that why is that sort of contributing to your feeling of it being overrated?
Just the expectations. Not that they're saying it's mind-blowing. It's like they're expecting it to always be mind-blowing.
Right.
In truth, a lot of people probably only like 2 episodes of it and then are saying the rest aren't good.
Right.
That's my stretch, though. I don't normally rant about television shows, but I thought that'd be a good one on the way over here.
Yeah. No, that is.
What's your favorite Black Mirror episode?
I'm a softie. I like San Junipero. I like the happy ending. I like
that does say a lot about you.
Yeah,
you've got a warm heart.
Yeah.
I don't,
and it's almost sort of about the afterlife. So
yeah,
there you
very
go.
Much so.
We've got a theme going, and this isn't fair at all. But one of the more recent episodes of Black Mirror, I think it was Black Museum. They used the myth that we only use 12% of our brain, and I was like, "All right, fuck you. You're not as smart as I thought you were."
I like how you just go, so it was, instant turn off.
Right. Isn't the fake number even 10?
It's something like that.
That was like 2 or some dumb shit.
They reference that. Yeah. I haven't committed it to memory because it's dumb and it's not true.
What's the movie where Homegirl uses all her brain? Lucy?
Lucy.
Yeah.
What is true? How much do we use?
So it's true that we only use a small portion of our brain at a time because all the different portions of our brain are specialized. So if we were actually using our whole brain at the same time, we would be like, you know, urinating on ourselves and having a seizure because that's not
Sounds
how the brain
good.
Works. Yeah. It's like complaining that you only use 10% of your keyboard at any given time. It's like, because if you were using all of the keyboard at the same time, it would just be a fucking mess.
It's a timeshare. So we thought that, these people only come once a year, but we weren't keeping track of all the people that come into that timeshare.
Exactly. That's right. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, Bing. Bing, the search engine.
Ooh.
Bing, the search engine, gets
Hot
so much
take.
Shit.
Wait,
it's so check this out. Bing is, it's a punchline, and no one would ever use it. But if you are looking for, let's say, a rare live performance on a Japanese site or a music performance on a French, basically international stuff that isn't filtered out by Google's heavy search thing. And I'm not even talking about porn. I am talking about porn, but I'm not just talking about porn.
You keep winking.
Yeah.
You got something in your eye.
Yeah. So basically,
doing
as
hand gestures.
I believe Bing is a more thorough video search engine. It's not the best, like, actual result search engine, like, as the list of stuff in text, but for video, I think Bing is highly underrated. And the proof is in the pudding. I don't think it'll be like that forever. Who knows? This stuff fluctuates all the time. But if you just think of artists you like and you want to find something rare, go to Bing, search for that, and then go to Google, also search for that, and then just compare, and you'll see that Bing is actually good.
Yeah. Oh, shit. No, you might be right. It was funny. I was with super producer Nick Stumpf last week, and we were talking about Billy Preston. Was he the fifth Beatle? Was that what they call him? Yeah. Anyway, and we're talking about this one performance I did for the concert for Bangladesh that I could not find on YouTube anymore. And I was like looking for it, and I just Bing that shit right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You could probably download it too.
But it was
They're
on Daily
like
Motion,
super...
so you know, maybe I'm just too lazy. I think maybe that's what it is.
Well,
too.
That makes sense.
We don't.
That Google owns YouTube, so they're only giving you YouTube results.
Well, if you go to videos, they have the other ones too. But yeah, it will.
But they heavily favor whereas Bing. Look at that. That's pretty.
Just binged it. Wait, why do I already have an account on here? Oh, shit. Okay, they got me. I'm in the Matrix. Never mind.
Yeah, we often just pick one thing and, like, that's the best, and then we won't try the other. But same with browsers. Like, it fluctuates which is better, Firefox or Chrome. Like, Chrome busts ahead, and then it gets kind of bogged down with stuff, and Firefox is on top. And
there were, like, even a couple months last year where Safari was actually good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember
Opera
that?
Was super fast in,
was
like, 2012.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Opera
was
the
way
shit.
To do it, but now Opera's behind.
But somebody should have, like, a Rotten Tomatoes of browsers where you can just, like, keep track of which one you should be using at any given time. Because, I need to know. I've just been... That's true. I just use whatever one I've been using.
God, we're just sheeple, man.
Did you ever use browsers as like a burner browser as like growing up? If you wanted to look at pornography or something like that, you would use that browser so you wouldn't a deleted history is very suspicious, but if you have a whole new browser that you could delete, it's nothing to you burn the building down.
Lucky enough to have an old ass computer in my room that I could look at the internet with, and back then in my day there was only Sublime Directory for porn, and it was a whack ass website that was just like weird,
Sublime Directory.
Shout out to anybody who remembers Sublime Directory. Yeah, that was like an old school,
a list of stuff. There's this whole history of the internet and different sections and how we used it, whether it's porn or looking for video or news or anything that's just, maybe it is covered a lot, but I don't think we look at the internet as how big of a thing it is. Or actually we do, there's infinite amount of content of everything everywhere, but I haven't recently reflected of that. I'm thinking of decades all the time. I'm thinking of, there's the 2000s, and then there's the 90s, and the 80s, and 70s. But a whole bunch of shit has happened within cyberspace while the outside looks the same. Like my friend who's a substitute teacher was saying that he looks at those pictures of the graduating class of 2017 and the one from 99, and it's the same clothes. Like the clothes varies a lot in the 80s, 70s, 60s, but fashion stopped evolving towards the millennium, and then after the millennium, the thing that started evolving was the cell phone. The device is what changes in people's hands.
We just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah, because now it's funny, like when you go to places like, you know, like an Urban Outfitters or whatever, and people want to buy clothes that look like old bullshit clothes that like were hand-me-downs to us in the 90s. They're like, I want an oversized Fila t-shirt. And they're like, like, you're overpaying for that. And also take that FUBU off, young woman.
Right.
I haven't been in a Hot Topic in so long.
I just picture all kids today having face tattoos and the unicorn frappuccino dreads.
That's true. We saw the one dude at lunch the other day who was like, are you trying to look like Lil Pump? That's not a look. Off-brand Lil Pump is not something you want to look like.
I think if one out of every 100 kids in this generation have that look, it's still going to, that's how I'm going to picture them from now on, the Lil Pump dreads. And finally, what is a myth? What is something most people think is true that you know to be false, Ramin?
I think, excuse me for getting esoteric here, but the particle is a myth. We think of particles.
Holy shit.
Like, then the atom is like a little billiard ball of thing, and then it has an electron going around it. It's like, no, that's not it. It's a higher energy concentration than the outside of the cloud. And you go further into that. It's like you think you eventually find a stubborn piece of matter called a particle, but as far as we keep going down, there's no such thing. So you can't find anything. There's no such thing as things.
Right.
Holy shit.
It's like an energy field, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we know that in Einstein field equations and stuff, we know that matter is energy condensed to a slow vibration and all that. But conceptualize that there's no particle.
I was going to be like, bro, you're preaching the choir right now. Of course, bro. We know this. Wait, what's your background? Were you a science major or something?
I was brought up with engineer parents and a scientist brother, but on the outskirts. I did well in it in school, but I never wanted to pursue academia. Right. I hated school and sitting down or even talking to people I do comedy, so I guess that's the same thing. It's a different thing. You get to be more crass, though.
For sure.
When you do that, but
Everybody should check
Anna
out
Anna
Hosni art.
Just slides me a note. She goes, his background is Iranian, LOL. Yeah.
that's actually really good. Yeah, of course it's that.
Go to RaminNazer.com and check out some of his shit because, there's really interesting, trippy shit that you do in the art world as well as in your comedy.
Oh, yeah. We were watching, what were you showing me yesterday? Giuliano's pizza thing? We're just getting more and more aggressive. Yeah, cartoons are great.
I'm not actually a scientist, though. Like, so you could have an actual scientist perhaps come in here and be like, well, actually, we did find the particle in 2016. Sure, it just didn't make sense. But then
I think our audience knows because we don't have scientists on as guests normally. So, no one
else. As close as we will ever come to having a scientist.
Oh, no.
You're related to some.
It's funny that we're talking about atoms because yesterday we were talking about Negaton or something when Binium was on. And the
Negaton?
Like, it was like another thing and we were talking about electrons. Anyway, people, like the science family came through on Twitter. So I was like, okay.
I get it.
We got that right.
It was a headline that seemed like it might be referencing
a typo
something
or something. But it was clearly
racist.
A reference. No, I don't know. We didn't know what the fuck it was. And then it was a reference to a Deadpool thing. But anyway. Right.
Let's
are
get into
are your
format.
Twitter people generally nice, or are they mixed?
Oh, the Zyte gang is
the
Zyte family.
Gang is lovely.
They're family.
Yeah. Hey guys.
Yeah.
It's we have.
I hope they appreciate that. Hey, he said, "Hey guys," to no one in particular. No. To
and they will take
group.
That to work with them. They'll be like, "Hey, I don't know if you know this. This dude on the podcast said hi to me.
Hey,
so I'm not coming in."
Hey Brian, how's it going?
Yeah,
Brian's the best.
Brian's the best.
Good Lisa, peoples. You're the best.
Lisa's great. There's Tiffany, Lisa, Chapman, Christy Yamaguchi, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
They're all out here.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now, today, at the moment we record, and we have a new update from the world of Benghazi.
It's been a while.
Things have not stopped being fucked up in the world of entertainment. And so there was this rumor going around that Charlie Rose was going to make a comeback with a show where he interviewed other people who had been called out by the Me Too movement. We said it was finally the official realization of the show title we came up with, Toxic Masculinity, as like a... They heard that show title and embodied it with this idea. But now it looks like that might not be happening because Charlie Rose is worse than anybody thought, right?
Yeah, there's apparently, so now there are 27 new allegations against him, 14 by CBS employees and 13 by other colleagues, spanning 40 years.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, like, the details are pretty, you know, he was pulling out his penis and touching and groping women and stuff like that. Yeah, again, I think it's just one of those things. We have to realize that a lot of these dudes from this generation, this is the gross shit. This is the sort of shitty culture that they're coming from. And yeah, so I don't know if that's going to affect this show, because clearly, why would you already give somebody a show if you know they're like this sexual harasser? The premise of the show already seemed crazy to me.
Right.
That it's like, yo, get Louis C.K. on and Matt Lauer, and y'all can just talk about like how fucked up the country is, right? This witch hunt. But I don't know what they were saying, because it was like a Page Six item, this TV show, and they were like at a Q&A, like there was a producer that like said, oh yeah, I was asked to produce the series but ultimately turned it down.
From the people who brought you Juiced, the OJ prank show where he went around scaring people because he's a literal murderer.
Yeah.
Comes Toxic Masculinity. Yeah, I assumed there was some manner of, man, we really fucked up, and here is us now reflecting in retrospect and like trying to make good in some way. But yeah, I guess if it is just them being like, man, what's happened to this country? You can't grab a girl's boobs when she's working for you.
I thought this was America.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this also speaks to, you know, the duration, the fact that it started in the 70s, speaks to just how long and how sort of systematized the shit was. Like, they say that people at the network managers at CBS knew about his behavior as early as 1986. So, I mean, this is just...
Can you go back to that part you said it started in the 70s? What part started in the 70s?
Like these allegations.
These allegations. Oh, for him. Yeah. I thought it was like a speaking to a bigger thing.
No,
like,
sexual harassment began in the 70s.
Yes.
Prior to that, we were living in a utopian society where people minded their own business and didn't violate each other.
As far as I'm aware, sex didn't exist before the 70s.
No,
is that correct?
My grandfather
came out with color television.
Yeah.
My grandparents were born in 1976, and that's the beginning of my family.
I do not like to picture sex existing before 1976, though.
Charlie Rose has been around that long.
Yeah, so yeah. The new allegations that involve him taking out his penis and touching a coworker's boobs.
Scientific term.
The scientific term boobs date to 1976.
Long time running. Sorry to be crude, but when you hear took out his penis, when you visualize it, which you can't help when you're listening to things, I visualize all of it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it sound like it's soft? Like, it sounds soft when it's penis.
Just
like, but
yeah.
Like, and
just, like,
maybe that's why Louis
there.
C.K. used dick in his apology. And
right,
because
penis seems flaccid.
Or showing, you know, exposing myself inappropriately. Like, we're listing details of it now, and it paints a weird, interesting
penis.
Picture in your head.
Yes.
Yeah, strange times. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the crazy thing other than...
The crazy thing.
The crazy thing other than that...
I'll tell you about the crazy thing about this.
Is just to think that, I mean, so he became probably one of the two or three most successful people at CBS News over the course of from 1976 to when this all came out last year,
right,
or earlier this year. So, you know, he was sexually harassing and assaulting people. And, you know, there are 60 allegations. And that whole time he was just like, you know, sexually assaulting his way up the corporate ladder to becoming like one of the most powerful and popular people. It's just fucking...
Yeah, I guess what's crazy when you talk about how people already knew at CBS, like, I think the second wave, we need to also start calling these people out who are just being like, let me just shield these people from it, too, because we also have to address that part of the culture, too. Like, obviously, to be violating somebody is one thing, but then to begin to protect those people
right.
from any kind of justice or whatever or consequence, I think that's the other thing that we also need. Like, you're not being the homie by being like, okay, it's cool. I mean, like, I'll figure it out. Like,
yeah.
No, you're complicit.
Yeah.
It's a weird balance of empathy and calling out, though, because we don't want to just be a call-out culture and point, but we also can't just forgive everything instantly.
Yeah, we have to be like, okay, how do we learn from this?
Yeah, I think Sarah Silverman does it really well. I don't know if you watched the Sarah Silverman, what's it called?
I Love You, America.
Yeah, I love it. It's like one of my favorite shows. I don't even know what it's called. But yeah, I think she's really good at that balance of...
Yeah, she's great.
I have nothing to do with that show. I don't know why I'm plugging that show.
It's a good show.
Underrated. That's why, because it's underrated.
Oh, that's what we're here
going
for.
Back.
Dude,
15
the Tig
minutes.
Notaro bit where she does the
slow auctioneer.
The slow auctioneer. Yeah. So fucking funny.
Yeah, but that's a great show. It's on Hulu. We've had one of the writers from that show.
We
on
did
the Daily Zeitgeist, and yeah, it's great. Great show. Check it out. We don't recommend stuff just because we're involved with it. Sometimes stuff is just good.
Sometimes the stuff we're not involved in is good.
I know. Believe it or
not. Believe it or not.
Very difficult to.
I'm believe. Walking on air.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And whoo, there was an appearance by Rudy Giuliani. I guess there were appearances by Rudy Giuliani. One last night on the fucking, what's it called, show?
Sean Hannity.
That's the one.
I like that, though, on the fucking What's It Called show.
And then again this morning on Fox and Friends. Now, I have to admit, I've only been watching excerpts of the Sean Hannity appearance. I am, like, saving this. It's this and the new John Mulaney stand-up special. I'm saving them for the weekend so I can just, like, sit back, pop popcorn, and just, like, watch it. Like, turn the lights down.
It's good.
Just
let me spoil some of those jokes for you.
Yeah,
he does
please,
this one
please
joke.
Do.
Where...
the moments, the highs of this Rudy Giuliani appearance are so high that we have to talk about it immediately.
This is just symptomatic of how fucking backwards Trump world is, that you have your lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, go on Hannity and then completely self-own on the air like
right.
he did last night. And then this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Just specialize it, as our writer Sam Rudman wrote, or a show that specializes in having people step on their own dick, was very good at that last night. So Giuliani came on and basically contradicted Trump's version of the Stormy Daniel payoff.
Yeah, he and said, even Michael Cohen's version.
Yeah, and Michael Cohen's. He said to keep her quiet about having the too gross to imagine sex that she talked about on 60 Minutes. They paid her, Michael Cohen paid her, and then, so we knew that, but what he said that contradicted what people have been saying is that the president paid him back for that.
And knew about it.
So had Cohen not been repaid, the violation would have been just his own campaign finance violation, but because the president paid him back, now it is his violation as well.
Yeah. The moment on Hannity when he sort of spills the beans is kind of amazing, because up until this point, Sean Hannity has said whatever he needs to protect the president. And then to have Giuliani come on and be like, let me tell you something you don't know, and completely blow his mind. I think we have a clip of just the moment where Sean Hannity realizes that he's been, I'm sure Sean Hannity knew it was bullshit what he was saying, but he has this moment where he realizes, have I been lied to by the president, or what have I been doing? So anyway, listen to this.
That money was not campaign money. Sorry, I'm giving you a fact now that you don't know. It's not campaign money. No campaign finance violation. So
they funneled it through the law firm.
Funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I didn't know he did.
Yeah.
There's no campaign finance law.
Zero.
I didn't know that he did.
Both of their voices sound so much alike. Who's speaking where?
Giuliani's first, and he's like, I'm going to tell you something you don't know. That he paid it back, and then Hannity goes, but it was like funneled through a lot. Like, he was trying to make sense of it without it making look like Trump knew what was going on. And then he's like, yeah, and then he paid him back. And that's when Hannity's like, ugh.
Oh, I
you just kind of
that.
Fucked, you blew up the whole case with that line, my friend.
It's like when you remember when Rick Perry had to name the three departments or name three of the 12 departments
that he wanted to abolish.
Yeah, and he couldn't name one.
Come
and then
up with a third one.
Yeah, and then he just goes, whoops.
Yeah.
Like, kind of cool. Like I don't care. I got it wrong.
I can't come up with a third one, but, you know, whoops. That's not good, man.
It's bad because, okay, he completely contradicts what Donald Trump said. He said on Air Force One like a couple months ago, I have no idea what's going on. You have to ask Michael Cohen. And then even Trump himself began tweeting now. And like this whole thing, they're having so much trouble just doing the basic lying that it's sort of mind-blowing how there are actually three versions now. There's Trump's versions of events, there's Michael Cohen's versions of events, and Rudy Giuliani's. And Michael Cohen said he was never reimbursed. He was like, yo, I had to take out a home equity like loan and I was never paid back. Now Giuliani is saying he was paid back. But Trump was saying before this, I don't know shit. So it's a very, very, very sticky situation. And so to add to that, he went on Fox and Friends this morning, Rudy Giuliani, and then dug the fucking hole even deeper. So the whole thing is like with this payment, right? The campaign finance law violation is that this $130,000 payment can be seen as a contribution to the campaign because that money to silence Stormy Daniels was to benefit the campaign and the outcome of the election. But the way they've been trying to explain it away is like, oh, this wasn't Donald Trump's money. Michael Cohen did it on his own. He didn't know anything about it. It had nothing to do with the campaign. So now with him saying that Donald Trump knew and paid him back, they're in a sticky situation because that is now can be seen as a contribution to the campaign because it was purely for the sake of the optics of that story about his affair getting out so close to the election. So they had some ambiguity to be like, well, it had nothing to do with the election. It was
he just didn't want his wife to know.
Yeah, he just didn't want his wife to know, which, okay, fine. But then he goes on this morning and basically just says, well, imagine this. This story comes out right before the second debate with Hillary Clinton. I mean, Michael Cohen had to get it done, so he did what he had to do.
Trigger warning.
Would it have been
Rudy
that damaging, though? Didn't people already know Trump was outrageous?
Of course. There's no, like, this whole thing, that's why it's also kind of like not a non-story, but this isn't going to be the thing that totally fucks Trump. At least I don't think so, because based on all the, you know,
previous
all the previous things that are going on.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a pig. We knew that. I don't think anyone for a second doubted what happened. But it's just this now. It puts him at risk to basically have committed. There are like four felony charges now that they could possibly face because of what Rudy Giuliani is. First is that the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels was like an in-kind coordinated contribution that's above the limits of what can be contributed. Second is that Cohen was a straw donor that they used to cover up the actual source of the contribution. Third, they made false statements on financial disclosures. And fourth, false statements on banking forms. So that's like four legit felonies that, you know, obviously we'll see where that goes. But all this new information from Rudy Giuliani makes like no one's story holds up anymore now.
Right. I mean, that's basically what you're saying is what they were saying, that, like, you know, this is a guy who it wouldn't have affected his
He would go to
campaign.
The Playboy Mansion a lot and was on the Jeffrey Epstein
plane. Used to leak stories to the media about how he was cheating on his ex-wife because he thought it made him look cool. But the point is that this sort of proves intent. There's an actual quote from Rudy Giuliani this morning on Fox and Friends, and trigger warning, this is a grown man stepping on his own dick. He says, however, imagine if that came out on October 15th, 2016, in the middle of the last debate with Hillary Clinton. Cohen didn't even ask. Cohen made it go away. He did his job. So that's putting this revelation in the context of the fucking election and saying, you know, it would have been bad if it came out during the debate. And so Cohen made it go away. So
he's just so bad at being bad.
Yeah.
It's really,
it really
weird.
Is just very.
I'm like into the point where now I'm mad at them for being so dumb. They don't even know how to lie. good.
Right.
You know, lie well.
Maybe that's part of it. It's like showing off that, this might be a weird analogy to use, but it's like from a, like if the, when you're playing a soccer match and the goalie is scoring on you, it's like if they can just be that open with the,
right,
the dumbness, it's the flaunting, the flexing, yeah, if you will.
That somehow, yeah, the goalkeeper off a goal kick goes straight into the goal. Cause yeah, like, I don't know, we're not really defending. Yeah, it's just such a wild, wild organization over there in the White House. And then also, Giuliani's not even just fucking up the information about this Stormy Daniels thing. He's also getting the State Department into some shit, too, because he also went on and was being like, oh, you know, North Korea is going to release, like, some U.S. prisoners before the administration has even formally announced anything. And it's like, you don't work at the State Department, so why are you divulging this information? Because, again, the White House just must be like this some dude's garage where everybody hangs out and they hear shit and they're like, oh, what's you working on? Oh, North Koreans? Okay, I'm going to go talk to my homie over here at Fox News. It's just, they don't know how to keep anything contained, and it's just, I don't know. It is what it is. This is clearly just regularly scheduled programming for this administration now.
Yeah, they keep the show going.
Yeah, they keep things interesting. So, I mean, this isn't just completely without strategy or an accident. Apparently, Giuliani thinks that he can go on there and say that because Trump paid the money, because it actually eventually came from Trump, and because Trump is allowed to spend as much of his own money on his own campaign as he wants, this isn't a problem. But because it was originally paid by Cohen and it was hidden, and then it was basically a loan from Cohen and that he had to pay back later, that doesn't, you know, prevent it from being a campaign finance violation.
Right. I mean, like, the crime is that they didn't report it. I mean, he could have easily just done the payment and then said, okay, this is $130,000 I paid to Michael Cohen, and then it could have came out that way. But the funny thing is, too, like, if he just didn't pay him back, Michael Cohen would have been the fall guy, and he could have been like, this guy acted completely like he went rogue and just did his own thing.
Right.
But because of this payment back, he brought himself back in. Yeah.
It is a bad strategy. Their strategy is bad.
Is this the main thing against him right now?
This is one of many things.
One of the main.
Well, so, I mean, he also has, you know, this like libel suit with Stormy Daniels going on,
right,
too.
So Stormy Daniels is suing him for libel because he keeps saying that they didn't have an affair. She's saying they did. And every time he says she's lying, which, you know, I don't think anyone really thinks she's lying about them having an affair. But because Trump this morning in his tweet in response to Giuliani's appearance tweeted, the agreement was used to stop the false and extortionist accusations made by her, Stormy Daniels, about an affair. That basically gives them, like, they were having to rely on a much older statement where he denied
like really
that they
fake
had an affair.
Tweet. It was like, oh, they like an old sketch, this is BS kind of thing. And they're like, okay, they're denying it there. But
right,
this now has her name and you attaching this extortionist false accusation. Now they have a case.
Right. Now he is openly calling her a liar in public, and so she has a case against him. Another weird detail of the Giuliani appearance was when asked what he'd do if Mueller investigated Ivanka. We were talking yesterday about how Ivanka Trump, the president's favored daughter,
favorite child in general,
favored person in the world, crush. You know, she is very complicit in a lot of the financial crimes that the Trump organization has committed. And, you know, we were saying it's probably only a matter of time before Mueller starts investigating her. Hannity, you know, we know Hannity listens to our podcast. Yep. And he was like, you know, what would you do, Rudy Giuliani? What would you do if Mueller started investigating Ivanka? And Giuliani, like, lost his shit.
Right.
He was like, I would go at him. I would get on my charger. So I guess that's like
Dodge.
Dodge or horse, maybe.
Yeah.
And go right into, run into their offices with a lance if they go after her, which is, I think, a physical threat.
He should be allowed to, because that's just amazing. But only if he actually nails it and
right,
is on the horse with the thing.
Did he just go to medieval times or something?
Right, exactly.
Like, why the fuck? Why is that the
get
thing?
On a horse.
Like, it's not like, oh man, I would go in there and I would throw him out of the office. Like, I would get upon my steed,
right?
Have my vassal prepare my lance and do battle. Like, what the fuck?
You think he's just trying to be creative in the moment and just didn't nail the right thing?
I mean, this guy, he's a fucking.
He's trying to be chivalrous, I think. Yeah, he said that the country would revolt. There would be rioting.
Like turn on Mueller, right?
Yeah, there would be rioting if he deigned to even turn his sights toward Princess Ivanka.
I think he's talking about Beyonce. That is not. Nobody's gonna fucking get going. No one's taken to the streets when Ivanka gets hauled off. And if they are, come the fuck on.
But there are just so many, you know, third-rate mobster vibes just coming off of the White House. It's just. There was also a story that recently broke about how a guy who was officially a White House aide, but was just Trump's longtime personal bodyguard. So he turned his bodyguard into his White House aide. But they went in and raided his doctor's office and, like, basically stole his files because the doctor.
Oh, Trump's personal doctor.
Yeah, Trump's personal doctor, because he spoke about the fact that Trump was on Propecia. And that made Trump mad because he wanted people to think that his head of hair was natural.
Was not just a curse.
Right.
That some god put down on him.
Right.
From on high. You shall have this fucking spider head.
Yeah.
Looks like a bunch of spider webs.
And they also said that the doctor had to take a framed picture he had of him and Trump down off of the wall.
So. Oh, they said, and you better take this photo down,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, like they do when you go to, like, a dry cleaner in L.A. and you see all the headshots.
This one is
coming down.
Not even headshot material.
That guy, though, that doctor, though, he is amazing looking. If you haven't seen this Trump's personal doctor, he looks like a character from a Coen Brothers film or something.
I haven't seen it.
He's like...
He's got, like, shoulder length, like, real stringy, like, thinning hair. And somebody tweeted.
Looks like Marc Maron from Far Away.
Doesn't he? Someone tweeted that he looks like Steven Spielberg had his midlife crisis late.
Yeah. And I mean, look, and, you know, granted, this guy, Borenstein, he was really hurt in that interview. He's like, yeah, I felt, you know, I was his doctor and blah. I don't get it.
He trusted him because this guy, we first found out about this guy because he was the source of the letter that called Trump the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. and shockingly, he is now admitting that letter was dictated to him by Donald Trump.
No.
Which it was like the most clearly, it was like a lot of the headlines in the American Media Inc. articles where it's like, wait, that is definitely written in Donald Trump's voice. Like, say what you will about Donald Trump. He has one of the clearest and most identifiable narrative voices that you could possibly have.
Well, he speaks in superlatives constantly. Yeah.
You know,
constantly.
In advertising, there's this word called puffery, I think, and it's so that companies can't be sued for saying we're number one or we're the best anything. So a lot of companies say we're the best, can't sue them for, you know, lying on the packaging. Is there a definition for healthy where it's like, I'm the best, I'm the healthiest. Like, healthy. It's like, how about your organs functioning? And,
oh, no, not that. It's about how many cheeseburgers I can eat in 20 minutes.
Super producer Anna Hosnier just showed us a headline that says that the White House is denying that they ever raided his doctor's office. So, you know.
Oh, so then they didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
And everyone knows Trump's hair is natural, and the most natural-looking hair of all.
No, yeah,
so
he actually...
why would he need to raid it?
What you don't know is actually he grows it out, he cuts it off, and they sell that as weave.
Right.
It's actually more valuable than Remy extensions.
Right. He is supplying the wig industry.
That's a joke for all my weave people. With my new show, Unbelievable.
On Fox.
Right after... what is that TVS show about Claws?
Claws.
About the fucking manicure place? Right after Claws. Unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, that would seem to be a very serious thing for a doctor to admit to, that he, you know, issued a fraudulent letter about a presidential candidate during an election.
Oh,
like that's. But Borenstein's reaction to someone pointing that out was, oh, no, that was my black humor. like the movie Fargo, he said. Like the movie Fargo, because so Fargo opens with the disclaimer, like, this movie is based on real events. The names have been changed to respect the survivors or something, but everything else has been kept exactly the same to respect the dead. And it's totally made up. They just thought of that phrase and was like, that'd be some cool shit to put at the beginning of a movie.
Right.
Even though it has no, like, basis in fact. But so I guess that's what he was referring to, that, like them claiming that Fargo was based on fact.
Yeah.
That's how he thought of the letter he was writing that was used as evidence in a presidential election.
Again, he looks like he came out of a Coen Brothers movie, so that's probably why he was like, he just has like a, I think he's just obsessed with the work of the Coen Brothers or something.
Yeah.
It's my black humor to deceive the American people about a person in fucking awful condition, I'd imagine. Otherwise, we need to put Donald Trump in a lab and figure out how to fucking get the antidote to live forever.
And going back to the subject of Michael Cohen, there's a story that broke fairly recently that he owes all these back taxes because he was long on taxi cab medallions, which are these things. The New York Times podcast, The Daily, The Daily Nothing, not even Daily Zeitgeist.
Is it called Daily Nothing or The Daily?
It's basically called The Daily Nothing. Yeah, that's
it's called Michael Barbaro's Fest.
Michael Barbaro's
I don't know
quiet
the reference,
orgasms.
But I like it.
Yep, don't worry about it. That's for us to have our secret rivalry with a much bigger podcast.
No, they know about it.
Yeah, they know about it.
You guys are big, right?
They're scared of us.
No, I was lying to you when I said we were big.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to get you on the show.
You're bigger than me. You have a building.
Yeah.
Well, we might get kicked out. We're actually squatting. The real company will probably show up in about an hour, and we got to act like we're janitors.
But in addition to all of the paying off of Stormy Daniels and all the other illegal shit that Michael Cohen was doing for Trump, the search warrant to raid Michael Cohen's everything, like everywhere Michael Cohen is, was based on the fact that he had not been paying taxes on all these taxi medallions. And he's like tied really closely with this guy who's known as his name is Evgeny Jean Friedman, known in New York as the Taxi King. He operated more than 800 cabs and was basically skimming $5 million off of surcharges that were supposed to go to the government. According to a report in Page Six, Cohen once put Friedman up, the Taxi King. He put him up in Ivanka and Jared's apartment after Friedman attacked his wife before they got divorced. And Friedman is also in trouble because he once had this conversation with a former business partner. He said, "Don't fuck with me. You know how I am. You know how I roll. I will kill you, your wife, and your kids, and maybe I will let you survive, actually." So
that's tight.
Wait, didn't he say kill you, your wife, and your kids, and then let you survive? Yeah. Didn't he already kill you?
He's like, "Oh, actually, you know what would be cool if I let you survive and killed your wife and your kids."
Because if he kills you first and then your wife and kids,
die
before
backs.
Seeing your wife and kids die.
Yeah. Right. Come on, man.
That's the worst order to do
the
it if you're
kind of
really
mobster, are you?
Yeah. That's again, it's just these weird, it's just such a dark, weird, shady world where, like, you know, Michael Cohen's got his hands in all these different places, and then we find out, like, his uncle owned, like, the spot the Russian mob like to kick it at in Brooklyn. Like, it's very clear, like, they come from a certain world, and they're not even the good versions of it.
Right.
And not that there's a good version of organized crime, but, like, they're clearly
a respectable, their
abilities of deception are just so, they're like, Bush League.
They're disorganized crime, it seems like. They just, like, can't, like,
thank
keep their
you.
Shit straight.
Fire. Wow, there
boom,
you
boom,
go.
Boom.
There he is.
We're going to go to a break on that. I'm going to be carried out of the studio on people's shoulders, and we'll be right back. And we're back. And just really quickly, we wanted to check in with our good friends, the Koch brothers.
Koch boys.
So they are apparently handling all the hiring and firing decisions at certain universities, sort of.
Yes. Well, we all know the Koch brothers. They're the evil fucking geniuses who are trying to do things like trigger a constitutional convention and just all kinds of manners of fuckery to make sure that the corporate class is as strong as possible in this country. And that includes infiltrating universities because, as they see it, I think there was like a quote about that they saw like students as the foot soldiers of the free market. So they've been setting stuff up like institutes within colleges or like and giving huge donations and having these like really bizarre agreements that give them actual power to hire and fire people. So recently there was new documents that came out that there was a relationship between the Koch brothers and George Mason University where the Koch brothers Foundation created a fund to pay the salary of some professors at a free market think tank that they created at the school. And then they would also be able to create like a selection committee where they got to put two of their own people on that board. And they could also appoint members to advisory boards that had firing power. So basically, you know, like if the Koch brothers were fucking with it, they could just kind of press a button and make a professor go away in certain schools. And there was even like in 2016, this thing came out, there was $5 million was earmarked for Koch-backed, quote, economic freedom centers at Arizona public universities. And so, you know, people have noticed that the Koch brothers have their hands in academia, too, because I know there was a little bit of controversy when George Mason, they were trying to rename their law school the Antonin Scalia Law School after the Charles Koch Foundation gave them $30 million. And people were like, well, what the fuck is going on? There's actually, I think, a advocacy group called like Un-Koch the Campuses or something. And they're the ones who are doing a lot of this work. But suffice it to say, they are trying to infiltrate just American society at every level, including, obviously, the midterm elections, too, because they rely so much on many of these conservative congresspeople to basically protect the corporate class. They are spending close to $400 million to fight the blue wave in the midterms because they are so fucking shook at the possibility of the Democrats taking control of Congress. They're like, okay, do we have to drop a $500 million to keep our shit going? And the answer is yes. And even like within that $400 million, $20 million is set aside specifically just for TV ads to convince Americans that the tax cuts or scam, as I like to call it, were effective. Because that's like the battle cry that I think a lot of the Republican candidates are going to go into midterms with. They're like, hey, man, what about all that money you saved on your taxes that you don't really see? Only if you're like super wealthy have you actually seen that. I don't know if that's really the best plan, but I guess if you brute force it and spend $20 million trying to inundate viewers with like, oh, yeah, the tax cuts were really great, maybe they have a shot. But when you have people like Marco Rubio in public saying, I don't think any of this money is coming back to the people, they're really just not on the same page at every level. So
the Koch brothers are basically extremists. The National Review, which is a very conservative outlet, called them anarcho-capitalists. They believe that the government should actually go away and that rich people should just be able to do whatever they want.
Because they're rich.
Yeah. Nobody thinks this is a good idea except for a handful of very, very rich people. They're like in the top 100 richest people in the world. And, you know, they are systematically like just trying to influence how people think. And it's scary that it's getting to universities. America's universities are still like thought leaders in the world.
Do we have good billionaires as far as we know? Like, I don't dig all the way in, but let's take like, I don't know, is Elon Musk, Richard Branson, like, are these guys, are they
the
working?
Gates Foundation.
Gates Foundation is doing some shit.
Pretty good shit, yeah.
Yeah.
And is it actually, or like, is it one of those when you look deeper, it's,
I don't know. Probably there's some weird shit.
It's mostly philanthropic, but like, yeah, I think at every level, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, like, this is happening, whether, you know, you liberals give grants to universities too, and it's not always with like the, hey, you're going to do what I say, but
right,
you clearly will have some kind of influence when you give any, you know, university a significant amount of money.
60 Minutes had a report this past weekend about a Gates Foundation charitable trust where they gave scholarships to people with an aim toward making the student population in America's universities more economically diverse. So not based on race, but based on like people who come from lower income, you know, families. So that's what they're doing. And then the Kochs are basically buying and selling professors to try and influence people into thinking that the government is evil.
Yeah, because their whole thing is the government has regulations and they hate that because they're polluters and they don't care about worker safety and shit like that. What's ironic about them, though, is that they're like pro-immigration because their whole thing is like, that means more employees for us.
Right.
And so like they're just so laser focused on just their fucking evil empire. It's insane. So, yeah. And they have a lot of money. And like, you know, they were tied up in Breitbart and shit like that. So this is just part of their overall strategy to get into people's minds.
Yeah. I mean, corporations are these interesting things where there's, you know, that whole like corporations aren't people. They can't be defined as people, but they are for sure.
They are now.
Organisms composed of, you know, that whole thing. Like if you killed the, you know, everyone who worked at McDonald's, McDonald's would still exist as an idea. And it's not made of the people making the company. So it's these big organisms that are, of course, they have their own self-interest in mind and not ours, but at the point to where they don't want the little ones to revolt. It's like keep them just 100%, down enough.
To, man. Yeah, and they're legally obliged to do whatever is in the best interest of the bottom line. So, you know, if they know that their McDonald's hamburgers are going to kill 300 people and there's a potential that that exposes them for a lawsuit that will lose them $1 billion, but selling those killer hamburgers would make them $2 billion. They have to sell the killer hamburgers. It is their legal obligation to do
it. Yeah, and factoring in the way the PR, too, like, what would that PR mean for it? Like, yeah, if it comes out $1 more with killing people, like, it's like, we got to choose the $1
one.
That is their legal obligation.
We in the black, baby.
It's what they eat. It's what those organisms eat.
So, real quick, two things happening in the realm of popular culture. The Karate Kid has been revived as a YouTube Red series. This made me very nervous. The only movie that I've seen almost as many times as Jaws is the original Karate Kid. It was like my favorite movie growing up. Love the movie. I think
is that why you asked me if I knew Mr. Miyagi when you met me?
Yes. I ask all Asian people when I meet them that
including
question.
Your wife, and she was like, I'm Korean.
Yes.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. I had to get that joke in.
No, it's not a joke. I really want to know.
I want to derail too really quick. Has YouTube Red figured out like their thing yet? Remember Netflix figured... Oh, they haven't.
I don't think
Amazon
figured
it out.
I don't know a single fucking person who pays for YouTube Red.
Oh, no.
I mean, if they are, it's the younger kids who like they have shows like, I think whatever, there's like the Rhett and Link show and like other like...
Good
Lily
Mythical
Singh.
Morning.
Yeah, Lily Singh has her shit on there. But I think... That's specifically for that. Those
yeah, it's a
kids.
Weird branding thing, right? Because Netflix was Netflix, and all the other ones are that thing. But YouTube, we associate with free and like very you know, raw content.
Exactly.
Right. So I think this is the first show that I've heard of on YouTube Red that's doing something actually somewhat interesting, because the direction they took it is not the direction you would expect them to. So Johnny, the bad guy from the first one, is actually becomes the underdog hero of this series.
The Cobra Kai dude?
Yeah, the Cobra Kai, because like his life is so fucked up from that loss from to Daniel.
Uh-huh.
He is like just a loser who got his life together. And Daniel like is this shitty dude who like owns all these car dealerships and is like, I will chop prices to.
Oh,
so Daniel's
shit.
Like the big asshole. Johnny is like this underdog who, when students who like he comes into contact with, however, they never really figured out how to make like old men friends with young children in a way that wasn't creepy. But so he like starts up Cobra Kai again to teach these kids how to defend themselves. And Daniel's like, Cobra Kai's evil, must be stopped. And so it's a conflict between them. But I like the fact that they're, you know, going back on the whole thing. I think Karate Kid, the original, fucked me up because it just taught me that underdogs were good inherently, that I should always root for the underdog.
Right.
Whereas, like, Jason Pargin, David, who writes it, cracked as David Wong, wrote this article about how, like, it's not fair to the people who work harder and are better to
right.
automatically be like, no, fuck the Cobra Kai guys. They've been working years to be good at karate, and then this, like, skinny twerp comes up and, like, starts a fight with them.
Who's, like, friends with an old gardener.
Right, and he wins, and we're like, yes, their years of work go down the drain. And I think this, like, has something to do with, like, I've always been puzzled by, I've always been a LeBron stan, like, from day one, because I think it's incredible that we have somebody who was like a child prodigy and didn't end up fucked up, was just like exactly as good as people expected him to be, even though there were like Nike and Adidas billboards just aimed directly at him when he was like 14 years old. Like, it's insane that he's not a crazy person. But people, I feel like, hate on him because he's the Johnny of the NBA. He's like the guy who was chosen, and there's just always been this like hate that I think comes from like
for LeBron.
For LeBron. Like, I don't know.
People
I see
always
it in,
hate the greats. I mean, in general, you know what I mean? Like, you always be like, man, fuck that guy. Like, you know, it's there's part of it that it could be that sort of underdog mentality of like, oh well, you're so good that actually means you're bad,
right?
Because this must be some form of evil supernatural chicanery that got you to this point.
And also, not all nerds are good and not all jocks are bad.
Right,
there's like
100%
bad nerds. And
I like the idea though with this show, right, that Johnny's just a fucking loser because of that.
Right.
And then afterwards, like, I would love to, I wonder if there's a scene where he's like, look, bro, I know I was kind of addicted. Like, my parents were getting divorced. Like, I didn't really know who I was.
Right.
So, yeah, I was kind of a shitty guy. But, and Daniel's like, fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't giving you a break on this fucking Chevy Cobalt. Get the fuck out of here.
And it takes place today in 2018 with apps and everything. And they have Snapchat and.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
But they still keep the conceit, that old people are just like friends with middle school students and high school students, but also that the All Valley Karate Tournament is like what determines your success in the world of Los Angeles. Like, yes, there's
MMA
the film
still.
Industry and the entertainment industry,
nah.
But more important is who wins the All Valley Karate Tournament.
Dude, you didn't win AVKT?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
How many times does Rocky lose? Because Rocky is like a good story of the underdog doesn't win, right?
Yeah, he's lost, I think, in the original four, which are the only ones I count, I think he's only lost twice. He lost in the original movie, and then he loses to Clubber Lang at the beginning of three after Clubber Lang literally murders his trainer. And everyone's like, well, Clubber Lang's the new champion now, right. I guess. Yeah. Well, Ramin, it's been a pleasure having you, meeting you for the first time here
you
today.
Thanks for having me. First time.
Where can people find you?
Just my website, RaminNazer.com, or I guess I'm most active on Instagram, but I do a lot of drawing, so I just post the same drawing on all the platforms, but Instagram, I guess, is the main one. Remember when all the platforms were different? Like, you would use Twitter for one thing and Facebook for another, and now they're all just video, and
yeah,
right.
It just, why are we on all the different ones? And just the answer is because your parents are on one, and you want to be a little more yourself on the other.
And also how much you want to expose yourself to racism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All depends on which app.
Which is number one? Facebook, then Twitter, then Instagram?
Well, Twitter is the ones where the racists can find you, no matter what. Uh-huh. Facebook, you'll just have to see passively racist people you know say some weird shit.
Right.
And Instagram, I think, is a little more insulated.
Facebook's good for finding out who's racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, wow.
Man, so many people's parents, dude, it's so funny when you look, you're like,
yeah,
boy.
They don't look happy either. Like, it's something in the, there's got that angry look.
It's a generational thing. Maybe. I don't know.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, little old me. Find me on Twitter and IG at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. And Miles, what is that going to be today?
I mean, in honor of Rudolph Giuliani, I think there's really only one song we can play, and that's by The Specials. A message
Classic.
To you, Rudy, because you're so rude, you rude boy. Me not trying to hear your nonsense. No, you're getting me vexed. So we're playing The Specials, A Message to You, Rudy. You know, and also shout out to Brandy Posey, because I know she's a huge ska fan, so we're holding it down for all the ska fans right now.
One of the all-time great songs. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.